First off, I'd like to say I appreciate the opportunity to bring a lesson to you this morning. It's a personal one to me, but hopefully the story and the idea will resonate with you in some way and can help you in your spiritual life as it should do for mine. So quick raise of hands. Who has painted a wall or something before? Right? Okay, so almost everyone. So that's good. Maybe it'll make a little more sense then. So back when we were buying our house about 12 years ago, whenever we purchased it, we looked at the walls and decided that it needed some paint. The colors weren't the best. It was missing paint. There was cracks. There was chips and other things missing then from the drywall. So we went out and we selected the colors we wanted at the time, and then we plastered in the holes and chips that it had, and then we sanded it, and then finally we got to get to the paint. Now fast forward 12 years, and Katie and I decided it was time to do that again. So we went and picked out some new colors to begin. And then going into it, we knew it was going to be some work, and of course it was. So this time around, though, when I looked around, I found new cracks and new holes. So I had to once again patch those holes in the drywall and those cracks and work on some different things. That way, it would be ready to then paint. And there was a lot of places where nobody really looked, behind the TV and stuff, that had some things, some imperfections that definitely needed some work on. So from that experience comes the lesson for today. Sometimes we need to reevaluate our spiritual selves in a similar way. Maybe we have to look around and see if we have some freshening up that we need to do. Maybe there's some gaps or some areas we need to sand off, or maybe a place we need a fresh coat of paint. So again, hopefully this makes sense in some way for you today and encourages you and helps you in some way today as we use this analogy for this lesson. So consider yourself as we read through and see if yourself is in any of these, and if you have that need to make changes, I encourage you to do so then today. So starting off, you got to do a little bit of cleaning. You got to do some planning. You have to do some preparation. I first had to take things and move them out of the way of the walls and take down pictures, and then start the cleaning process, taking a towel and some water, washing some areas that were dusty or dirty, and then sweeping the floors, and so on. And then that all had to happen first before we could even really start the real work. And in the same way, I think there may be things that we need to clean up in our own spiritual lives. We have to sweep out the lusts. We have to remove the sin. And we have to sand down some problems that we have in our life as well. So 1 John 1 and verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So part of this is confessing and admitting that we have sins in our lives, having an acknowledgement then of those sins, and then, of course, working to then remove them from our lives. And it's something we have to continually work on, too. It's not something we do once and then we move on with life. It's something like that we're going to have to do every day of our lives, evaluating ourselves and then removing those things from our life as we need to. And part of the way we do that is by stopping those sins and stopping the evil in our lives. Isaiah 1:16 says to wash yourselves, cleanse yourselves, remove evil deeds from my sight, and stop doing evil. When you read a verse like that, it seems fairly easy to stop doing evil. But we probably don't murder, we probably don't steal, we probably don't lie on a regular basis, and a lot of times we look at that and think we're doing fairly well. We know those are evil, but we forget about all the other evils, all the other sins, all the other things that sometimes we try to keep at arm's length in our life when ultimately we need to completely remove them. We need to stop those evil and remove that evil then from our lives. And by doing so and cleansing them from our lives, we can be more pleasing and be acceptable then to God. And I think if we want to be acceptable in that, there's two kind of basic things that we need to add to our life and as we clean our life is fear and obedience. 2 Corinthians 7:1 tells us that the first one is to fear God and trust in his promises. It says, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." So having a healthy fear of God is something we have to put on. It's something from that healthy fear of God we'll then act upon and have more obedience than our life. And Psalm 119 and verse 9 says, "Where shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word." So again, the idea of obedience, acting on that fear in obedience and doing what God wants us to do in our lives. So I think by mostly doing those two things, we can cleanse ourselves of sin. We can cleanse ourselves from those things in our life, and we can prove our walk within Christ. But even like my walls, once you get them clean, it still wasn't complete. We have to clean and remove the dust and the dirt, and that's kind of only the start. We also have to do some repair and some replacing as well. So after my cleaning, wasn't yet ready to paint, I started looking around and spotting some damage. Again, I noticed that there was actually some cracks in my drywall. There were some holes in the walls from definitely the kids, it wasn't me, and some other things I needed some work on. So I broke out the spackle, I started working and spackling all the holes, and then smoothing them off, sanding them off, and trying to get them then refined so it looked like it was completely repaired. And I think sometimes we need to mend things within ourselves, and maybe mend things with others in our relationships if we want to be where we want to be spiritually. We can't leave holes and assume things are going to be okay, because those holes can then become gaps and larger cracks and eventually could break. So we have to fill them. We have to fill our hearts and our lives with new godly things and repair any damage we might have within ourselves or within others. If you would, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. And we'll look at some repairing here in verses 4 through 8. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will not be put to shame. Now to you who believe, the stone is precious, but to those who do not, the stone is the builders rejected, has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is what they were also destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special people, that you may declare praises of him out of darkness and into his wonderful light." So here we have an analogy that we are, as individuals, are like stones that are building up this spiritual house. And if you were to build a house, and you were given some broken bricks and broken stones, would you use them or reject them? And I think the idea here for us, and the analogy is mostly focusing upon Christ, but the idea for us to be built up in that spiritual house, we are those stones as well. And if we are broken, if we are cracked, if we have issues in our life, we're not going to make a very spiritual house. We probably have some things that we need to work on than to make our stones stronger to build up that house. So we are the stones. We have to be good stones that God would accept and God would be pleased in to build up his house. We have to do some replacing. It might also be that we have to replace something in our lives with something a little better. Look with me over in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, we'll begin reading in verse 24. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain came, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it did not fall, because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew, they beat against the house, and great was its fall." So are we living on sand? Is our foundation weak? Are our lives not what they should be or need to be? It could be that we don't even need repairs. We need an entire replacement. We have to examine ourselves and see if something in our life needs to be changed or added or removed or modified. It could be people, or it could be our job. It could be our friends. And in some cases, sadly, it could even be our family. Whatever is holding us back or making us weak, as the sand depicted here, it likely needs to be changed in our lives. And if we have a hole, we need it filled in. If we have a hole, we need it to fill in with what it needs. You can't take and mend a drywall with some scotch tape and then try to paint over. It's not going to last very long. You have to mend it with something that it's needed. And you can't replace a broken stone with sand, as we read there. So depending on an individual, we might have different holes that need to be filled. And I think only studying God's Word can lead us to what we need filled in our lives. We have to look out and seek out and see if there is a gap in our lives. And I think a good place to start is in 2 Peter. In 2 Peter here, we'll read in chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. 2 Peter 1 and verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. Self-control, perseverance. Perseverance, godliness. Godliness, mutual affection. Mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I think here we see that if we don't fill our spiritual holes, then we're going to, or it says here that we need to fill our spiritual holes with adding on spiritual things. And it's a progression. We first have to have goodness and knowledge, and then add on to that godliness and so on. It's a perpetual thing that we can add to ourselves. And then if we don't fill our spiritual holes, we'll have an issue where evil can fill those holes in us. If we have time that we have to waste, or we have something in our lives that shouldn't be there, they can quickly fill up our lives. Look with me over in Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, we'll look at the story of the impure spirits. Here we'll read verses 43 through 45. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. And then it says, I will return to the house I left. And when it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept, clean, and put in order. And then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go in and they live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. This is how it will be with the wicked generation. So in this story, this wicked spirit's driven out. Things kind of look in order, but nothing good was put into that house to replace it. So inevitably, since no improvement was made, the spirit came back and it became worse than originally was done in that location. So we have to fill our breaks and our holes with good things so that evil then cannot take up that space in our lives. And then even after we repair and after we replace things and things are complete, there's still a little bit of painting that needs to be done. Here I've broken painting down into three kind of main steps for us to consider. So the first in painting is studying. So we got to our end goal. We're finally putting on that paint on our walls. The paint on the walls is a way to protect them and make them look new again and give them new life. And spiritual, I think for us, it means that we need to rekindle our zeal for Christ, putting on new paint and renewing our walk with our Savior. We can start by doing this by studying God's Word, keeping sin out of our lives and surrounding ourselves with good things. I think the best way to know what God wants for us is to study His Word. We can't really guess. We can't try to think of ideas on our own. We have to look into His will and His knowledge and see what He wants for us. Psalm 119:105 says, Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to our path. So if we want to have what God wants for us known, we have to look into His Word. We also know that God's Word is meant for many things other than just guidance. It's meant to teach us. It's meant to correct us. And it's meant to train us up in how we should walk. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, All Scripture is breathed out by God, is profitable for teaching and reproof and correction and for training then in righteousness. So Scripture is important. It's God's breathed out Word. And it can teach us and help us. And it can guide us in what we need to do. And God's Word is also a way to protect us, much like paint does for the walls. Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. So God's Word can guide us, it can protect us, and it can help us present us from failing in our mission to reach heaven. And sin. We have to keep sin out of our lives. And to keep sin out of our lives, we first have to keep our temptations under control and also avoid those temptations when possible. Look with me in James chapter 1. Over in James chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse 13 down through 15. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own desire and enticed. Then, after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when full grown, gives birth to death. So we have to find out what is hard for us, what is hard for us to handle in our lives, things that are temptations for us, and we have to put those things as far away from us as possible. If we have problems with a certain sin and we're still going to places where we can fall into that sin, it's probably not a good idea for us. The idea is, does a recovering alcoholic go to hang out at a bar? Does the recovering drug addict go meet with his drug dealer friends? Or if we have a problem with anger, do we put ourselves in a position where we know we're going to get angry? We shouldn't. We have to think. We have to prepare ourselves beforehand to avoid those kind of things that could lead us to make a bad choice. Because the further away from temptation we are, the further away we are from sin as well. And even when we are tempted, we can pray to not fall into temptations as well. Matthew 26 and 41 says, "Watch and pray that you do not enter temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." We ourselves are weak, but through prayer and through God's word and improving in knowledge of God's word, we can become stronger. Luke 22 and 40 says, "On reaching the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you not fall into temptation.'" Even Jesus spoke this to his disciples, saying, "Pray that you don't enter into temptations." But we can also have assurances that even when tempted, we can overcome them. Sometimes we can't completely avoid a situation where temptations are going to meet us head on. But God will help us through them and will not let us be tempted beyond what we are able to overcome. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way so that you can endure it." So the idea is, when we do come into those situations that we can't avoid, that we can't overcome them, God will not tempt us beyond what we're able. It's up to us and our choice to either succumb to those temptations or to reject them. It's always our choice. And then lastly, Romans 13 and 14, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to it lust, to its lusts." So we need to strive to endure temptations. We need to keep sin out of our lives, and we need to prevent Satan from gaining the upper hand by putting ourselves in any of those situations. And then lastly, surrounding ourselves with good. To help protect ourselves from evil, we have to surround ourselves with good as well. If you want to win a game of baseball, do you grab the worst players or do you find the best to help you out? If you want to win, you always strive for the best. And I think the same goes with spiritual things. We have to surround ourselves with those that love the Lord if we want to get to heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:33 talks about, "Do not be deceived, bad company corrupts good morals." We're familiar with that verse, the idea that if we, you know, have those around us who would corrupt us, we could easily fall into those things. And I think the opposite can be true as well. That good company exalts good morals. If we keep that good company, if we spend some time with Christians and we have them in our lives throughout the week, it will help us keep up our morals as well. Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 11 and 1, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." So having good people in our lives that we can help be a good example for us, and we can have a good example for others, especially the kids here today. We need to be good examples for them so that they can look up to us and have that example to follow as well. It's not just people. It can be anything in our lives too. We have to fill our lives with good things, godly things, spiritual things, and not things that will hinder us. And I think Ephesians 6 drives that home, as Alan read for us earlier, with the armor of God. Let's go ahead and read that as our last verse for this morning. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll read that one more time. Beginning in verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you will be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith with you to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So I think by doing these things, as we see here in the armor of God, we can be protected from sin, we can be protected from Satan, and we can be protected from evil that the world holds for us. I like to think of the armor as kind of like that coat of paint, putting it on to protect and to show our enemies that we are ready for battle, and that our allies, and to our allies, that we are ready to defend the word, having on that coat of arms, or in this case, the coat of paint. And finally, we might have to leave our comfort zone and do something a little scary too. In the last 5 years or so, I've become increasingly unstable whenever I'm about above 6 feet off the ground. I can put up Christmas lights on our gutter, and that's fine, but standing anything above, that's pretty tough. When I went to paint towards our ceilings, because we have kind of, I don't know, arch ceilings, whatever you want to call them, about 14 feet high. And it took a lot of effort and a lot of mental preparation to get up on that ladder all the way up there and paint those top levels of that wall. And I think for us, the same thing can happen in our spiritual lives. Sometimes we have to be put in some uncomfortable or some scary situations. We have to leave our comfort zone. We have to talk to others. We have to evangelize. We have to help others, or teach, or preach, or lead singing, just to name a few things. But I was pretty proud of myself for overcoming that and going up there and painting those walls. But I think God would even be more proud of us if we overcome the scary things and the uncomfortable things in our lives to help others come to Christ. So consider yourself. Consider yourself if you're in need of something. I encourage you to act on it. And as you sit in your home throughout this week and you stare at the four walls in your living room or in your bedroom, you can see the walls and see the paint. Maybe you're going to look around for some places that might need repair or paint yourself. But then apply that back to your own spiritual self. Is there something you're weak in, or you need of some cleaning or repairing or a new coat of paint in your life for Christ? I think it can be embarrassing when things are looking grim. A lot of times we try to close the curtains and not look at the things and kind of look the other way. But we have to work on ourselves and build ourselves up. And honestly, we can be encouraged. We all struggle. We all have issues. So if you need help, reach out to someone. It would be an encouragement to them, and I think it would be an encouragement to you as well. So if you have a need, let us know. Also, if you haven't yet taken the steps to become a child of God, we have them listed here. That you must believe the word of God and repent of your sins, turning away from them, confessing those sins, and confessing that Christ came to this earth and died for you, being baptized for the remission of those sins, being washed clean, and then from there continuing on, pushing forward and living the life that you need to live. So we offer these last few minutes this morning. If you have that need, let it be known this morning as we stand and sing.